Hi, this is Mike Swanson of Wall Street Window, and I got Dave Skirica of AddictedToProfits.net. How you doing, Dave?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Oh, just great. Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff going on, and you sent me an article the other day, which is really interesting because it's about George Soros, and you know, I don't agree with his politics, but there's no doubt he's one of the most successful investors in our lifetime, and there were all these news reports the other month about how he was selling out of his giant position in GLD, and you've got more details about that.
Yeah, what's interesting is that when this first came across the wires, you know, all everybody talked about was, you know, because it happened, you know, it got released right about the time just after gold had crashed and the gold stocks had crashed. So just people used it as another bearish indicator towards gold, saying, you know, Soros and his fund are out. But when you look at this 13F and you actually look inside of what he's doing, is that he reduced his GLD position by about 10%. Now, some people would say that he didn't even really reduce it. He actually took physical delivery of some of this gold, too. I don't really have anything to verify that, but there's been some articles about that, which would mean that he didn't even net sell. He just, you know, basically, you know, exchanged it to have the real stuff. But even if he did sell, what's interesting is he didn't sell any of his gold miners. He actually upped his position quite a bit in the GDX.
Okay.
And he sold some of his position in the GDXJ, but what's interesting is essentially what he sold, he turned around and bought $25 million worth of call options on the GDXJ. So what he did was basically get more leverage. He lightened his position in you know, GLD, but he increased his position in the stocks. And then on kind of the more leverage portion of the stocks, meaning the small cap miners or, you know, medium sized mining companies, he really, really got more leverage by buying call options rather than just owning the ETF itself, which probably is a sign he's pretty confident that, you know, these things are going to start to rally, that they, like, you know, that they're nearing some kind of major bottom.
So I guess in short, he's basically, while news reports have said he's reduced GLD and that's the headline, yeah, you see, in reality what he's really done is moved his money around in a way to leverage himself even more on the movement of gold by putting more money into gold stocks.
Yeah, what it seems to me is that he averaged, now just so you know, it just tells you how even the best investors in the world aren't exactly right with timing. Like, for example, the thing about the article show is his price in GDX, for example, was $37 roughly. And of course, GDX is under 30 right now. So who knows? We don't know. He could be adding more to that position right now after it fell even more. So, but it just shows you that, you know, he's just kind of leveraging up. And like I said, if you buy call options, like for example, I own call options on Kinross and Barrick just for a bounce. And part of the reason I did these two right near the bottom, like I did Barrick in kind of the mid to late teens, and I bought the Kinross call options, I think actually luckily the day it bottomed around $5, because I was at these prices, I started feeling very, very confident you're going to at least see a strong bounce in them. So if he's buying call options and leveraging up in the gold market, it's probably a sign that it feels that the stocks have bottomed. And we know that Soros isn't a gold bug. He isn't one of these guys calling for the end of the world, all these sorts of things. But we also know that he kind of has a similar philosophy in a different way to the Templetons and the value investors, in that when he sees that markets go too far in one direction, he thinks that they're going to come back in the other direction and rally, like they've gone too far in one direction and then rally back the other way. And obviously that's what he thinks has happened in the gold stocks. And I think where this interesting plays out right now is, and I'm just writing an issue on it, is that if you look at the history of crashes during a long-term secular bull market, and I know when something drops 60%, it's hard to think that was in a long-term secular bull market, but what you got to remember is something like HUI, it bought in the mid-30s in 2000. So, you know, you're still up over, you know, 500-600% from that low despite this recent correction. So, but when you get a crash within the context of a secular bull market, what I have found is that usually for about a 2 to 3, maybe 4 month period, you'll kind of bounce around and base and retest, and then you'll come out of that to the upside. and then move significantly higher in the years that follow that. And that's what gold stocks did, say, for example, in 1976. That's what the stock market did in 1987. And that's what gold stocks did during this secular bull market in 2008. So I know anyone who's in kind of like has long-term positions in gold and gold stocks, this has been a very difficult period, but probably we should see some sort of major bottom here within the next month or two and then move higher. And I think one thing that we should repeat is that even though I, for example, have been bullish on gold for years and years and was maybe a little too early on this down move, the way I feel about gold stocks now is the way you and I felt about Europe last summer. If you go back and look at our podcast last summer, you and I really were talking about gold stocks. We were talking about Europe because that's where we thought all the value was and where all the pessimism was. And that's kind of, you know, I still like, same thing. I still like Europe and certain European plays, but I really, really like the gold stocks here on mass is kind of like the big maximum pessimism, value investing, bottoming kind of play right now. You know, a very good risk reward down at these levels.
Well, we were looking at this chart before we did this interview of the gold stocks in the 70s, and they had a similar bear market, I guess you want to call it, as they've had now, in the sense that they were going up, and then in 74 they made a peak and declined for 2 years, just like they did now. But in the last month of the decline, they fell like 30% in just a matter of a couple weeks, and it crashed. Just like they did this past April. So, and then, of course, you know, between 76 and 80, they went up over 350%.
Yeah, and it was kind of the same, like, in terms of the Barron's gold index. It went down two-thirds from that 74 top to 76 bottom, even though gold only went down 40%. So it was the same kind of thing, that the gold stocks really, really, you know, fell badly and overdid it to the downside, and then, you know, really, really rallied strongly after that. And, you know, and what was interesting was that the gold stocks actually topped in 1981. That's kind of the interesting thing, that there was late 1980, there was a bounce after the first low, and then actually they went to much higher in 1980 after the gold top. Now, I think that just shows you can time this perfectly, but definitely I think a bottom here and see some kind of spike. And the long-term cycle, and you and I were discussing this right before the interview, is interesting because in my book, The Great Super Cycle, and on a site called Cycle Pro, which I found this chart on, shows that secular bull and bear markets tend to be approximately 17 and a half years in length, which if you take March of 2000, the S&P top, you're looking at late 2017, early 2018 as kind of the bottom of the secular bear market. And I know everyone now is all hyped up about the stock market's recent rally, but we probably should be in a bear market for the next 4 years or so. And if you look at that, gold tends to run contrary to the market. So that probably means that we should have about a 2 to 4 year move from this bottom in gold stocks for their secular top. So that's to me, is what's kind of interesting about this as well, that it is kind of setting itself up for one probably final rally here in the gold and gold stocks and precious metals markets, you know?
No, I think this is, and that would make right now or this month or next month, like, a real, real important time to buy.
And the analogy I'm using is that this is kind of like buying the internet stock, especially in some of, say, these junior gold mining companies, back in the mid-90s, that, you know, tech had been in a boom for a while, the secular bull market had been going for a while, but that sector was still relatively cheap in the mid-90s, and of course the internet stocks really led the way in the late 90s and when it turned into a bubble. So that's probably what's going to happen with these gold stocks here. Again, when you look at the price action on them, it's hard for the average person to say, well, this is a bull market. But, you know, you look at something like Eldorado, which bottomed at a quarter or roughly a quarter in 2000, went as high as $20 and now trades, you know, at roughly $8. You know, like, again, you're still longer term. You're still up 4,000% since the bottom in 2000. So you look at these things, a lot of these are just giving back gains, giving back a lot of the gains, but are probably still in secular bull markets. And I think just one thing that you should note about gold stocks, well, you can have a somewhat of a longer-term position. And like I said, if you own something like Eldorado from the start, you'd probably be fine with this recent decline. But I think you in gold stocks is a little difficult because they are so volatile. You have to somewhat trade them, like sell a little bit into spikes and then wait for weakness like we see now and add to your position then. So that's kind of the way you kind of have to play that market just because it's so volatile. But I definitely think now if you're underweight the sector, even if you're like market weight the sector, you probably want to get a little more overweight down here, just like you wanted to get overweight Europe last summer, just based on pure valuation.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Whoa, as we wrap up, you got any last minute thoughts or anything?
Yeah, and the last thing on the gold stuff, too, like, just to add to like the bullish, is that like from a fundamental standpoint, they're very cheap as well. It's not just, okay, we're talking about the cycles and the way they're playing the Soros going along, but you know, if you're a value investor, you're getting a lot of these stocks with 3 or 4% dividend yields, trading a single digit PDE. Granted, a lot of them are badly managed, but you're getting to the point, and even with crappy management, they're worth buying down at these levels. So I really like, you know, I really like them down here at this point. I really like the gold and gold stocks at these kind of like valuations and levels. And the last point is also, if you're bearish on the stock market, I think that the stock market's about to perform like a topping formation. Well, that now gold has started trading contrary to the market again. That if you look at it like Friday when the market was up huge because of the employment report, you know, gold was down almost $30. And then when the market had been selling off the last few weeks, you know, gold had been rallying. So it looks like now it's again a hedge and a contrary play. So if you do feel that the stock and stock market are topping, the gold and gold stocks are probably an excellent, excellent way to kind of play that without having to go short the market and that sort of thing.
Oh, excuse me. That makes a lot of sense to me, too. And thanks for taking the time to talk to me, and we'll do a follow-up interview soon.
Okay, thanks for having me.